This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington, and coming up this hour on Africa News Tonight,
President Yahya Jammeh is virtually running a ghost government. Almost all the ministers are resigning. Some have absconded to neighboring Senegal.
That's Pandere Mbaye, managing editor and founder of the online Freedom newspaper. We'll have full details on this story coming up. Also, doctors and aid organizations in Zimbabwe call on the government to improve the country's water and sanitation as part of efforts to contain an outbreak of typhoid. Four people are dead and nearly 180 are missing and presumed dead after a migrant ship capsizes on the Mediterranean Sea on Saturday. And Burundi's opposition in exile says the ongoing peace dialogue is failing. We'll have these stories and more, so stay with us. There's lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. West African nations reportedly are getting ready to send troops to the Gambia if President Yahya Jammeh refuses to hand power over on Thursday. January 19th is Inauguration Day in the Gambia, and President-elect Adama Barrow is scheduled to take the oath of office. Reuters quotes a Nigerian military source as saying a decision had been made that Jammeh will not remain as president when his tenure expires. Jammeh is disputing the December 1st election results and has appealed to the Supreme Court. But most of the judges are from Nigeria and Sierra Leone and may not be back in the Gambia until May. Jammeh has been president for 22 years after seizing power in a coup. Meanwhile, yesterday saw the ministers of finance, trade, foreign affairs, and environment resign. Today, there's word the tourism minister has also resigned. Among those following developments is Pandere Mbaye, managing editor and founder of the online Freedom newspaper. He spoke with VOA's Joe DiCapua about the impact of the resignations.
This is a disaster for Jammeh's government. President Yahya Jammeh is virtually running a ghost government. Almost all the ministers are resigning. Some have absconded to neighboring Senegal. There are so many things going on, Joe. Justice Minister Mama Singate is also said to be on the run. Her whereabouts is currently unknown. Reports have it that she's in Senegal at this hour.
Now, of course, we're hearing a lot of reports now that Nigerian troops under the banner of ECOMOG could go into the Gambia should Jammeh not step down on Thursday. What are you hearing about the military support for Jammeh at this stage?
Well, interestingly, last night, the National Assembly passed a resolution stating clearly that the ECOWAS blocks refrain from any action that would disrespect, destabilize the sovereignty, independence, peace, tranquility, and territorial integrity of the Gambia and her people. The pro-government Daily Observer newspaper reported, they quoting the majority leader of the National Assembly, Fabakari Tambongjata, and this is what Fabakari Tambongjata said. We also urge the ECOWAS to maintain its commitment to the peaceful resolution of our post-election impasse within the confines of the Constitution and other laws of the Gambia. Equally, we call on His Excellency Muhammad Buhari, President of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, and his members of the mediation team for the Gambia to exercise restraint and utmost good faith with the negotiation on the ongoing post-election impasse. This is what is happening, Joe. In other words, they are saying that they don't want any external military intervention coming from ECOWAS or Senegal.
Well, let's talk about the African Union, which has said that it will not recognize Jammeh come January 19th, should he not step down.
Yes, the African Union did say that, and Mr. Jammeh is saying that he's still the president of the Gambia. He wants ECOWAS, the African Union, including the international community, to allow his pending election petition before the Supreme Court to be heard. As we speak, there is no proper quorum. The Supreme Court is not properly constituted. As such, his petition couldn't be heard. Now, Jammeh is saying that unless his petition is heard, he's not going to relinquish power. On the military front, there is a problem. There is a massive purging of the soldiers and officers who are suspected to be disloyal to Jammeh's government, especially officers who belong to the ethnic group called the Mandinkos and the Fulanis. As we speak, dozens of officers have been detained at the National Intelligence Agency offices in Banjul.
All right, so this raises an interesting question about Thursday. Have you heard at all what the security arrangements would be?
That's an interesting question, Joe. The situation is very, very volatile. Mr. Jammeh is trying to have firm grip of the army. The army is divided. There are some soldiers and officers who believe that after the 18 midnight Gambian time, they shouldn't pledge their allegiance and loyalty to the Gambian head of state, President Yahya Jammeh. Now, in order to control the soldiers, Jammeh decided to confine them to barracks. Soldiers who he suspect of trying to defect or flee the country, he decided to arrest them. A good number of them, they've been detained at the NIA. In the meantime, there are reports emerging that Senegal might likely lead the assault operations in Banjul in coming hours. We have barely 48 hours for Jammeh's time to expire, midnight on the 18th Gambian time.
And what about Barrow? He will remain in Dakar until Inauguration Day?
Yes, Mr. Barrow and his family, they are currently hosted in Dakar, Senegal, pending the expiration of President Jammeh's term. Senegal is saying that Mr. Barrow should be sworn in. The next 48 hours, anything could happen.
Now, Pandera, you mentioned that Senegalese troops, at least according to what you're hearing, could be the ones to enter the Gambia on the 19th to ensure that there's a transition of power. Why Senegal?
Yes, Senegal is a neighbor to the Gambia. We share so many things in common. We speak the same dialect. Wolof is spoken in the Gambia. Wolof is spoken in Senegal. Mandinka is spoken in the Gambia. Mandinka is spoken in Senegal. So Senegal feel that they should keep a junior brother or a younger brother in safe hands, so they cannot afford to allow Jammeh to threaten the peace and stability of the Gambia.
That's Pandera Mbaye, managing editor and founder of the online Freedom newspaper. He spoke with VOA's Joe DiCapua. Four people are dead and nearly 180 are missing and presumed dead after a migrant ship capsized on the Mediterranean Sea on Saturday. The news was released today by the International Organization for Migration and the UN Refugee Agency. The update is based on interviews with the survivors, just four passengers who were rescued and arrived in Italy last night. The initial count of missing persons had been around 110. Reporter Josephine McKenna told me that migrant crossings show no sign of slowing down on the Mediterranean route, despite freezing winter weather.
On the weekend, there was a massive search and rescue operation, but it seems that almost 180 people may have died. They're at least missing, and there's no sign of them after several days, and so hopes are very grim for finding them. So that is a tragedy of extraordinary proportions, and only four survivors, two Eritreans and two Ethiopians. They've been taken to the Sicilian port of Trapani and they've been described as quite traumatized and exhausted, as you can imagine.
Were they able to describe what happened?
Yes, it seems that this wooden boat left Libya on Friday with more than 170, maybe 180 people packed on board. All of them are believed to have originally come from East Africa. And after several days at sea, the engine cut out and the boat seemed to take on water. And as it began to sink, more and more of the people were simply submerged beneath the water. Very difficult conditions, high waves, strong winds, and very cold winter temperatures. And one of the survivors even said he tried desperately to find his wife and had been very unsuccessful. It's really a terrible tragedy. It happened only 30 nautical miles off the Libyan coast, and there's been a massive search operation over the last few days to try and find survivors, but it looks very grim at this point.
Well, it just appears that migrant crossings show no sign of slowing down. When you compare it to migrant crossings last year, it appears there even more crossings this year in 2017, making that treacherous journey across the Mediterranean.
We are seeing a trend of much higher departures this year. 2,300 migrants have been registered in Italy just since the beginning of the year, and that is much higher than last year. As you might recall, we had 181,000 people arrive in Italian ports in 2016, and there's concern now that this number is going to increase into 2017, particularly because we're in January and in the winter months the numbers usually drop off. But certainly we're seeing a very strong flow of migrants and refugees making that very dangerous journey in very difficult conditions.
What is the Italian government saying about this at this time?
Well, the Italian government's very concerned about the increased numbers. The Interior Minister, as we know, Marco Minniti, has been in Libya just last week trying to put in place a new agreement to stop people smuggling, to stop illegal immigration, working with the Libyan government. But the Libyan situation is very unstable. There still seems to be lawlessness in certain parts of the country and great division. That seems a very optimistic hope at this point that we're going to be able to slow down that flow. And there are reports that there are thousands of people in Libya waiting to make that crossing. So the Italian government's very concerned and trying to put in place greater monitoring and greater registration of migrants once they arrive in Italy so that they can keep track of the people who are coming in.
And another aspect to this story, I understand you have an update on the situation regarding the people smugglers' capture.
Yes, an Italian lawmaker has launched a parliamentary inquiry into what is believed to have been a question of mistaken identity, a British-Italian operation that led to the arrest of whom they thought was Medani Nedego Mered, a 35-year-old, considered to be a key player in the smuggling of thousands of immigrants and refugees from North Africa to Europe. And after this man was extradited from Sudan to Italy to face prosecution, it seems that there are now reports suggesting that he is in fact the wrong man, that he is in fact Medani Tesfamariam Berhe, an Eritrean refugee with no connection to this people smuggling business. There's been a lot of controversy about this case, and as the court hearing is continuing in Sicily, an MP, Erasmo Palazzotto, said that he was going to begin a parliamentary inquiry to bring it to national attention across Italy and try and accelerate this process of finding out who this man really is and whether it is in fact a case of mistaken identity.
That was reporter Josephine McKenna. She spoke with me from Venice. Eighteen minutes past the hour, this is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America. While Burundi's opposition in exile says the security situation in the country may deteriorate soon, the announcement follows the failure of a major opposition group to attend a national dialogue with the government today in Arusha. Moses Habayarimana reports from Bujumbura.
The inter-Burundi dialogue consultations resumed yesterday in Arusha, Tanzania, in an effort to bring an end to the current political crisis in Burundi. But an important umbrella body of the opposition was not invited. SENARED, or the National Council for the Respect of Arusha Accord, that agreement brought peace to the country nearly two decades ago. The group says President Pierre Nkurunziza violated the accord last year when he ran for a re-election, which opponents say was unconstitutional. Former Tanzanian President Benjamin Mkapa is the facilitator of the regional mediated dialogue. In December, he said those who were accused of plotting the failed coup in 2015 will not participate in the dialogue. Jeremiah Minani is the Belgium-based communication officer for SENARED.
SENARED is pushing for a new facilitation. We've been in touch with the United Nations, African Union, and also with the East Africa community. We've been in touch with President Museveni. We are trying to push for a new facilitator. This negotiation must happen and must happen now. They cannot be led by a man who's supporting Nkurunziza regime.
Some opposition leaders who are also part of SENARED were invited but never showed up in the first inter-Burundi dialogue consultations this year. Agathon Rwasa, a Burundi opposition leader and the deputy speaker of the National Assembly, was also among those invited to attend the consultations in Arusha. He slammed the opposition leaders who boycotted the talks.
Personally, I think there is no use from any side to boycott the process. Whatever the anger one could have with regard to the so-called speech of Mukapa in Bujumbura last time, I think what is important is the national interest and these angers of each and every one.
For more than a year now, since the regional mediated dialogue started, there has been no fruitful outcome from the talks. Agathon Rwasa says tolerance could be the key to end the Burundi crisis.
You know, there has never been a debate between the opponents around the table. I cannot predict the failure or the success. All what is needed is to see that there is, at a certain point of time, an engagement between the protagonists. Then we will appreciate accordingly.
Jeremiah Minani of SENARED responds.
We're going to have to resolve this crisis as soon as possible. Let me tell you, if this doesn't happen sooner, I can tell you in the next 3-4 months, you're going to have to see the deterioration of the situation on the ground. Because like I said, SENARED is running out arguments to convince those opposed to Nkurunziza to not use force.
Since last year, mass protests have died down. However, targeted assassinations have continued to rock the country, with the recent victim being the Burundi Minister of Environment, who was shot dead in the New Year's Eve. Moses Habyarimana, VOA Africa, Bujumbura.
In Zimbabwe, doctors and aid organizations have called on the government to improve the country's water and sanitation to help contain an outbreak of typhoid. Sebastian Mofu has more from Harare.
Authorities have started dismantling vendors' malls as part of efforts to contain the outbreak that has struck more than 200 people in the capital Harare, killing two, and has been detected in other parts of Zimbabwe. Vendors say authorities must ensure citizens have adequate clean water and sanitation. Evans Masitara is the Secretary General of the group Zimbabwe Association of Doctors for Human Rights. Masitara told journalists in Harare that President Robert Mugabe's government has to do more to contain the outbreak.
We really don't want to mix issues here. Typhoid is being driven mainly by this water and sewage problem, not by the meat vendors. The meat vendors, definitely it's a health problem, but it's not the driver of typhoid. It's an issue which needs to be addressed, but for now I think the priority should be on water and sewage systems and refuse collection.
Last week, the doctors group called on the government to release funds to ensure medicines imports are not delayed. On Tuesday, the doctors said their call had not been answered positively. Health Minister David Parirenyatwa on Tuesday visited Mbare Township, the epicenter of the typhoid outbreak, and blamed the city of Harare for failing to ensure hygienic conditions.
We will not be able to get rid of typhoid or cholera or diarrheal diseases as long as we have conditions like these ones. Even if I said every hospital in this country stop treating anything else except typhoid or cholera, we'll still not have a solution. The solution is making sure that we've got hygienic conditions in this country, particularly here in Harare. The filth that is there, the worms that are breeding on top and under the cabbages that are being sold, and the sewage that is flowing is just a shocking, a deplorable state. As long as you don't clean this, you will not get rid of typhoid.
In 2008-2009, a cholera outbreak killed more than 4,000 people in Zimbabwe. The waterborne bacterial disease can be treated with antibiotics, but still kills more than 220,000 people worldwide each year. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Harare.
Zambia, Malawi, and Zimbabwe are urging farmers to act fast with pesticides to halt the spread of armyworms now threatening crops in all three countries. Lamek Messina has the latest from Blantyre in southern Malawi.
The worms have so far destroyed thousands of hectares of maize crops in Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Malawi, all countries where maize is a staple food. Armyworms are a common pest, but this year's invasion has sparked particular concern. El Nino-induced drought and flooding destroyed much of the previous two harvests, leaving nearly 30 million people in the region in need of food assistance. Chimimba David Pitt is the coordinator for the UN Food and Agriculture Organization for Southern Africa.
The problem is that if you have had, like we have had here in Southern Africa, true droughts, that is the conducive environment for the armyworm to be very active when the rains come.
Malawi first reported the armyworms at the start of January in 8 of the country's 28 districts. Now officials say the worms have spread across the country. Erica Maganga is the principal secretary in the Ministry of Agriculture in Malawi.
In most parts, people are reporting of some incidences of some sort. Like yesterday, there was a report from Salima. In Kasungu, they have reported, you know.
She says efforts are underway to contain the worms.
It's a pest that comes almost every season. So we always pre-position pesticides in all the ADDs. We are giving out cypermethrin to farmers that whose gardens have been affected.
Maganga says owners of big farms are advised to buy the pesticides from agro-based dealers. Rose Chisoa, a farmer outside Malawi's capital, Lilongwe, told VOA that she has almost managed to control the worms which invaded her rice field.
I noted about the armyworms earlier. Actually, I noted that on my rice while it was on the nursery. So I bought some pesticides. I sprayed cypermethrin and it worked.
Zimbabwe is reporting the armyworms in 7 of the country's 8 corn-growing provinces. But it is Zambia that has been hardest hit. The country first registered the invasion of the worms last month in 4 provinces, Copper Belt, Central, Eastern, and Lusaka. Zambia has been using military planes to spray the pesticides to highly affected areas. Local media reports say the worms have so far destroyed 124,000 hectares of maize crops in Zambia, up from nearly 90,000 hectares last week. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. And thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
On Friday, January 20th, the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, will be sworn into office. VOA will be there and will broadcast the presidential inauguration live from 1600 UTC to 1800 UTC to audiences around the world. Tune in as we begin the next chapter in American history, right here on VOA.
Tuesday on Health Chat, host Lenore Moudou will discuss improving nutrition, fighting non-communicable diseases, with guest Tamba Ray Stevenson, founder and CEO of Women Advancing Nutrition, Dietetics and Agriculture, WANDA. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.